When people come up, they say, "Whoa, how can I follow that? Did anybody after follow that?" Margie mentioned that the theme of this retreat is unveiling Jesus, and I think we just had a powerful example of that. But in our case, this weekend, it's connected to the founding charism of City of the Lord, which we've been working on for a number of years, and I'm going to briefly run through the last 12 years for you. Briefly. Anyway, unveiling Jesus is designed to help us continue getting deeper in touch with covenant love, part of the founding charism, but from God's point of view. So I think he wants to bring us into an understanding of what he wants for us this weekend. Before we start the unveiling, what I've been asked to do is go through these themes and kind of touch on some key points. So I will be doing that as we go along. But it's possible a number of you are wondering what that blue tent is outside before you actually come in. And so I'm going to explain that. It's a visible sign of this incredible move of the Holy Spirit. And this is the way of the Lord showing us how he has moved to bring this weekend together. The tent is a sukkah. And that's the Hebrew word for tabernacle. And we're here on the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a week-long feast for the Jewish people. And at the close of the retreat, I'm sorry, but I'm just moved by what we just saw. At the close of the retreat, we're going to be enthroning the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary here at Living Water. And the ceremony happens to fall on what Scripture called, and Jesus said, is the last and greatest day of the feast. And John's Gospel tells us that on that day, Jesus stood up and proclaimed himself to be the well from which the Holy Spirit is poured into the hearts of those who believe in him. It's the living water of the Holy Spirit that flows from the Sacred Heart of Jesus, pierced on the cross, along with his precious redeeming blood. So besides the blood of Jesus, we have received the Spirit of Jesus through his Sacred Heart. And the Jews, who actually heard Jesus saying this, they would very well have known that they were in the Feast of Sukkot. They would have known the references that he was making. And I didn't know I was going to be sharing this part. And so when I looked back over it, I thought, oh my gosh, many of the symbols that appear during the Feast of Tabernacles are topics for our talks this week, or this weekend. Jesus the King, Jesus the Fountain of Living Water, Jesus the Messiah or Redeemer, it's another of our talks. Jesus, Cause of Our Joy. And another name for this week for the Jews is the Days of Our Rejoicing. So I hope this is a time of rejoicing for all of us. And so the sukkah represents the shelters that the Jews built to provide shade and security when they wandered in the desert trying to journey to the Promised Land. And so, by inviting anyone who was weary and in need of rest and refreshment to come to him, Jesus is saying, I am your shelter, I am your rest, and I am your joy. Now, this is even more remarkable to me. The last and greatest day of the feast is October 7th this year. Normally, we would be celebrating the Immaculate Heart of Mary, or the Our Lady of the Rosary, on the 7th of October. But because it's a Sunday, it was suppressed. But what we're doing is enthroning to the Immaculate Heart of Mary on this very day. And it was under the influence of the Holy Spirit that St. Elizabeth was the first to call Mary the Mother of Faith, because she said, blessed are you who believed that there would be a fulfillment of everything the Lord spoke to you. So I can't imagine a human being setting up all these things for one weekend. So you just know how special this weekend is to the Lord, and that he's very pleased to be able to reveal himself, to unveil himself that way for us. The Catechism says that the Holy Spirit has a very special role with regard to faith. And some of you don't have the booklets yet. There'll be some coming tomorrow. But in the last page of the booklet, there these quotes appear, and also a list of names for the Holy Spirit. So if you want to get to know him better by name, you can see his names in the Catechism. But it says that through his grace, the Holy Spirit is the first to awaken faith in us and to communicate new life. Knowledge of God in faith is only possible in the Holy Spirit. To be in touch with Christ, to have Jesus unveiled, one must first be touched by the Holy Spirit. And this is the other coincidence for this weekend. Thursday next week begins the year of faith. And that was proclaimed by Pope Benedict, and that we would actually be initiating this walk of faith is another act of God for us. So as I go through this, it'll be a little refresher course for those of us in the community, and it'll give our guests a little background on how we got to where we are and why we're doing this particular weekend. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to touch each of us now so that we really can be open and allow him to put us in touch with Christ. Our founding charism that we've been talking about is receptivity and commitment to the person of the Holy Spirit and to the culture, particularly in covenant love. And that was the theme for our convocation this year, particularly in covenant love from God's point of view. So we can see the Holy Spirit's been preparing and positioning us to keep pace with the church in this progression of faith in salvation history. We're going to look quickly at each of the years and the themes, but they all cycle around this three-part phase. And we've looked at different spiritual writers and approaches, but they describe the same thing. And it begins, okay, with a powerful move of the Holy Spirit. And so you're touched by the Spirit. And it brings you more deeply in touch with the Lord. And oftentimes that is a bewildering experience, is how it's been explained. Because it's deeply personal. It begins to move you out of a place that you're familiar with, the things that you're used to, into new things. And it also wants you to change some old things. So that's the second part, no matter how they describe it. And the word that we connect with this part is intimacy. And Janelle described for us a couple of years ago how to pronounce intimacy. I'd been saying it wrong all these years. Into me, see. So the Lord wants to see into us. He wants to unveil himself for us. And then finally, after you've gone through this stage, this longer stage, what happens is your faith is increased. You have a greater trust in the Lord. You feel better able to follow the Holy Spirit, to really go where it is that he wants to lead you. The very first time, personally, for City of the Lord, that these three steps were introduced to us was actually in 2005, and it came through something we call the tsunami prophecy. We've heard this for years now. There were actually two. This was the first one, and it was given at the teen retreat in California in 2005. It says, a new wave of the Holy Spirit is upon us in this springtime of the new millennium. It is no ordinary wave. It's a tsunami. So it's this power touch of the Holy Spirit. In this wave, two things are happening. A stripping away of all that limits or impedes us from our walk in the Spirit. That's the confusing part. And a renewal and revitalization of all the gifts and the graces of our baptism. a new faith, a new confidence. But typical of the Holy Spirit, the word ends with a very positive note, and it presents some hard things, but it always leaves you with this hope to go forward. The new wave of the living water of the Holy Spirit brings abundant life and new growth, and it's the impetus of the new evangelism in the church and the world that John Paul II spoke of. In the surge of this new life-giving wave of the Holy Spirit, the Lord says to us, "I, Yahweh, am your God. You have only to open your mouth, and I will fill it." Now that's from Psalm 81. "I, Yahweh, Father God." And Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are thirsty, and I will give you drink." So 2007 was actually 5 years ago. So this was the Holy Spirit's five-year plan for City of the Lord. During the convocation, this is one of the most impressive things to me. Father Ian Carr from England, thanks to Jack Evans, was invited. And he identified the six moves of the Holy Spirit, major moves of the Holy Spirit in the history of the church. And he said, what's happening now with the new ecclesial movements since Vatican II and the move of the Holy Spirit, it's the seventh wave of the Spirit in the church. And Maxine happened to be talking about that, and all of a sudden she goes, "Oh, we're the tsunami." It's like, yeah, it happens to you, and then you become it. So we really are this tsunami that's going up. I'm going to skip over this a little bit. The other part of that year was our retreat, and from it came a scriptural approach to the three stages, and it was brought to us by Father Gerhard Lofink. And he used the experience of the Jews from Exodus. So the powerful move, this first inflow, he calls God gathering a people. And he gathered them from their bondage in Egypt to take them to a better place. But before they got to the better place, they spent these 40 years wandering in the wilderness. But essentially what happened was they learned they could rely on God for everything they needed to keep his word when there was no possible way they could see something happening. He would miraculously provide it for them. And he made a covenant with them. And he proved, "I am faithful to the covenant, even when you're not." And gradually, when you use that, you move on to the next phase, and he called it God scatters, which is his way of taking you into the new territory and then giving you a way to share the life and the culture that you've had formed in you, painfully sometimes. Okay, 2008 was a very pivotal year because we actually identified our founding charism that year, and we embraced the Holy Spirit as our founder. It was also the year we got the second tsunami prophecy. I'm going to skip this part in order to save time, but what happened at the convocation was we learned more about what a founding charism is and why it's important. And it came at the same time, same year, that Pope Benedict was encouraging all the orders and the communities in the church to rediscover their original charism. You know, for us, we were just discovering it for the first time, but come on, we're the seventh wave, you know. We're just new at this. So it is important that we had gone through that. I do want to go over the second tsunami prophecy, though, because that was the same year. The persuasiveness, I will take one phrase, it's called the persuasiveness of your charism, that you come to understand that. And for the first time, I thought, that is what covenant love is. That's the persuasiveness, that we experience God's love and then we're able to share it. And Jesus did that with his disciples. He called them friends and he gave them the commission to carry on his evangelization, his work. And so the tsunami prophecy started out saying, I tell you, I call you my friends, for I speak to you of my plans. My ardor breaks forth and will not be restrained, for so many of my children wander, lost in sin and darkness. I call you, my people, to labor with me, to lay down your lives so that my work of salvation will be accomplished in your midst. And then it continues to give a very good description of this middle time, the confusion, the bewilderment. The prophecy says, I tell you, the old gifts and the old ways are not enough. Beg me for the new gifts that I long to pour out upon you, new and more powerful than in the past. Do not cling to the old. Endure the emptiness so that I may make all things new within you. And then, like the first tsunami, it has a promise at the end. Go through all this, persevere, and I will make all things new within you. Okay, 3 years ago, in 2009, the Holy Spirit thought it was time to lighten up, celebrate a little bit. We've been doing a lot of heavy-duty work, and it was the 25th anniversary of City of the Lord. So we actually got our founding charism during this time of our Silver Jubilee. And the convocation theme, appropriately, was celebrating 25 years of life together in the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. And the retreat was the first one actually dedicated to a part of the founding charism. This retreat's probably going to be the last one for a while. And so it was on receptivity to the Holy Spirit. Our founder, third person of the Trinity, he taught us to call him Lord. He is the Lord and giver of life, which we profess in the creed. Our faith is in the Holy Spirit as the Lord and giver of life. 2010, 2 years ago, the Holy Spirit began preparing us for the next stage of our process. And at the convocation, we covered the element of a charism, commitment to the Holy Spirit, and building a culture for the Holy Spirit. And we took the retreat from some material by St. John of the Cross, who is a Carmelite mystic. He describes these same three stages, but from the perspective not of Scripture or the Old Testament, but of the development of your spiritual life. And he had three different phrases to express it, but it was the same. And in your retreat booklets, there's one chapter by Father Stinnison, his name is, from Into Your Hands. He describes the three stages, and he refers to them as stages of surrender, how you can be more led by the Spirit. And there are some references to St. John of the Cross in there, so I would just say if you're interested in that, to read in the retreat booklet. 2011, we're getting there, just last year. The Holy Spirit began preparing us for this creative response time. It's like, okay, you've done the bewildering and the confusing. Let's move on. Let's get to the creative response of faith. And that's where the covenant love comes in. We are persuaded by love. And that's what enables us ultimately to make this response to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord. So he's the covenant maker. His love is what we focus on, not our own failures to love. And then we're able to respond to him. And this is like a little catchphrase lately, but I thought, oh yeah, that means the Christian faithful are first responders. we're the first ones to get there when there's a tsunami going on and a dark night crisis. But we are, because we've experienced it. We can then speak from our own experience and share that with other people. So from now on, we are first responders. So I'm sorry it was quick, but that's kind of the walkthrough of the last 5 years. And it brings us to this year. And as I said, our Holy Father, present Holy Father, instituted this as the year of faith. And I feel like we've been on our five-year plan. John Paul, with the millennium coming, had a five-year jubilee plan. And he invited people to cross the threshold of hope. And one of the components of a holy year like that is holy doors. They open the holy doors at St. Peter's in Rome, around the world, at different churches. And in order to get the grace, you have to walk through the door. And I just, Lord, you're amazing. His heart is not only the door that opens out, that has the living water of the Holy Spirit that flows to us. It's the door we enter into. We enter through the holy door into the Lord's heart. And so I just thought, every time we walk through that sukkah, that tabernacle, this weekend, think of it as walking into the Lord's heart. You're walking through the door to receive the grace. We'll go into this year of faith really surprised at how we're going to come out this year of faith. So I thank God. I was going to point out some of the talks that are coming up, but I'm sure we'll do that over the weekend. But part of what Margie said is, take a breath. You know, we need to just relax a little bit. So when you come through the sukkah, the holy door, enter into his rest. And that's our first talk tomorrow morning. So I'm going to leave you with that one last quote. I just pray, Holy Spirit, now that you make us more and more aware of you touching us, putting us in touch with Jesus so that we can touch others. Because St. Paul said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The veil is taken away, so all of us, with faces unveiled, gaze as in a mirror on the glory of the Lord. And I think, like on Tabor, we'll see that glory in each other's faces this weekend too. So, amen.